The reading this morning is from the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. It's Hannah's prayer. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust, and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Thanks. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Keith. As we come this morning to look at another Old Testament prayer, let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us as we listen to the stories in your word about how we can approach you in prayer. Amen. The story behind Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2 is the bigger context of the story of God's people, the children of Israel. We've heard some of this as we've considered the prayers of Abraham, Jacob, and Moses. And at the time of 1 Samuel, the judges led Israel. God's people had turned away from him by living in disobedience to his commands, and the judges, the leaders of Israel's life with God, were corrupt. The result was the loss of God's blessing. The now politically weak, economically disadvantaged, spiritually bereft and threatened people longed for a king to champion their cause, just like the nations round about them. They longed for a new beginning, in spite of the fact that God, Yahweh, was meant to be their king. Again, in their story, we see God relent, this next time to their desire for a king. Read on in the book of Samuel for this part of the story. Israel's story is punctuated by divine interventions, God bringing about the seemingly impossible to ensure that at all costs his covenant is fulfilled. Normally, a covenant is two-sided. Failure on one side or the other revokes the agreement. And yet we see God working with the faithful few so that the thread of his promise continued throughout the generations, until its completion in the coming of Messiah. Samuel was to become God's kingmaker for Israel. But before we get to that part of the story, we find that his mother was barren. There's something of a pattern here. Of the three great patriarchs, Isaac's mother Sarah, who had married Abraham, Jacob's mother, Rebekah, who had married Isaac, and Joseph's mother, Rachel, had married Jacob, were all barren. Two of the judges, Samson's mother, who was unnamed and married to Manoah, and Samuel's mother, Hannah, who married Elkanah, were also barren. It seems that God is in the business of great reversals in order to achieve his purposes. Sadly, that doesn't mean that all women can have the joy of being a mother. Israel was longing for a new beginning. Hannah longed to have a child. In the fallout of this pandemic, many people are longing for new beginnings. Hannah was married to Elkanah, who took a second wife, Peninnah, who bore him children. And although Hannah had the special favour of her husband, she suffered the spite of Peninnah because of her childlessness. What we learn from Hannah in chapter 1 is that in the face of her ordeal, she was faithful in prayer and unashamed to bring her pain to the place of worship. As you or those you love, especially some of the younger generations, struggle with the disappointments this pandemic has brought, no work, lost hopes, an indeterminate wait, and emptiness, bring those to God and ask God to plant in your heart the desire of Hannah, to make all things thereafter about God, even surrendering the thing she most desired of him. And maybe for all of us who have work, haven't stopped working or had a holiday, it's time to make all that we do about God's glory, as well as learning to be in his presence, to intercede on behalf of others. In making her vow to give Samuel to God's service, Hannah had no idea of the significance of her decision, nor did she know that she would be blessed with another 6 children. Like the other barren women in Israel's story, God worked a great reversal, something completely out of human hands. Today, we're not alone in our experience of waiting. Every day I get asked when about something or other, which the one asking the question really knows I've no idea, other than to say that God is sovereign. That is not a trite or flippant response. Faith is asking us, as much today as in the days of plenty, to trust God and his purposes. Will we commit ourselves to his purpose, or will we fret when our own ambitions seem to be thwarted? There was in Hannah's song a remembering. When the lockdown is over, when, God willing, there's a vaccine, will we remember to give thanks and praise and trust God to provide for our economic and spiritual well-being? Let's pray. Sovereign God, our Heavenly Father, may we see that your purposes are being fulfilled. And although this life is but a shadow of your original plan, sin has been defeated. You give to us all we need to endure disappointments, and you have set eternity in our human heart so that by faith we may hold the hope of new creation. Amen.
Good morning. So we move to part 2 of our talk. When God's people had left Egypt and settled in the promised land, one of the first things they begged God for was a king. A king, the key to national success. A king to guarantee prosperity. A king to give them stability and keep them safe. And they looked around at all the other nations and said, well, they've got a king. We need one too. And 1 Samuel is the story of their search for that king, and how David was in many ways the ideal king, just what they'd asked for. But then how tragically he disappoints everyone at the end, and they're left with this big question mark. Is that it? David is the best king we could have hoped for, and look what happened. Is there no hope? It reminds me of the ads that churches put out for vicars and leaders. They interview for the best. They're always disappointed. And that's where this story applies to us. All of us, in some way or other, are searching for a king. something or someone to guarantee us prosperity or safety, security, stability, joy. And whatever we seek to guarantee us those things, that is our king. For Israel itself, a new nation, economic and military health was completely dependent on many children being born. Literally a life or death issue for families and for nations. And the barrenness was a metaphor for hopelessness. No children, no foreseeable future for your people. No human power to invent a future at all. It's rather the same thing that happens today, isn't it? We live in a world full of paninas that tell us that we get significance from the quality of our education or the size of our house or how good looking we are or because we're healthy. And because of that, we can easily feel worthless, jealous and dissatisfied, just like Hannah did in chapter 1. But to Hannah, God shows her these things, this ultimate safety, security and joy, they're not found in sons. And to Israel, God said, these things aren't found in a king. And to both of them, he said, these things are found in me. Then Hannah, having prayed to God for a son and being given one, then gives her son completely back to God. He'll grow up away from her in the temple. No school assemblies or concerts or football matches. No late night lifts, no muddy boots. So what's happened? All her life she sought joy in having a child. And now she finds this joy somewhere else completely. So let's look at the prayer that she prays in chapter 2. And she'll tell us where she finds joy. It's a song, and actually if you look on YouTube, there is a song, the words of verses 1 to 10 in song. The only thing I thought was slightly ironic is it was written by Hannah, of course, and it was sung by a man on YouTube, which seems a bit of a shame. But her song says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. There's no one holy like the Lord, no one beside you, no rock like our God. Her strength is now in God, not in children. And she goes on in that prayer to talk about God's unfathomable wisdom, his strength, his beauty, his holiness, his compassion for small, broken and sinful people. This, she says, is the ultimate treasure. This is her king. The family she looked to for having her security, she now finds in God. This was Hannah's repentance and salvation. She found what she was looking for in God, and so she was free. And we sung about that just earlier. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is free. Now, of course, we can't read Hannah's story in isolation. This story isn't about Hannah and children. It's about lost people. Us and God. And there's a parallel between Hannah's story and your story. Where will you look? What is the king that you seek? What one thing must you have for life to be good? What do you care about the most for obtaining? What one thing could you not imagine life without? You see, the truth is that our real need, our real brokenness, comes from the break in our relationship with our Creator God. And that's what Jesus would accomplish 1,000 years later. He would restore us to God. That's what the whole Bible is about. Not about what God can give you, but what you need in your life is to be restored to God. Most of our hurt and our disappointment comes from seeking another king beside God. And where we're disappointed or hurt or worried or stressed, these things are like smoke from a fire that you can track back to the places where you're seeking other kings beside God. We are already part of God's big plan. And at times we need reminding to step back and see the bigger God picture, to take care what we make the biggest things in our life. They may be good things, but they must take their proper proportion in relation to God. And God granted Hannah what she most wanted. And yet her song shows us how her awareness of God's big picture grew. And she discovered that living as a God follower doesn't mean you'll get what you desire in this life, because she discovered she had God, and that was enough, and that enabled her to let go of what she thought she had most wanted. So because of God, she has significance and stability. Because of God, she can live with open hands and give her son back to God. So if you feel like Hannah felt in chapter one, that you haven't accomplished, haven't succeeded, that you don't have the king that you want, God cares for you. God has offered himself greater than any worldly possession to you as your treasure. Because of Jesus, because Jesus as a man, fully human like us, bore our smallness, our brokenness, our sinfulness for us on the cross. And this is the unique message of the church, isn't it? You won't hear it anywhere else. Because of the world, because the world and sometimes the church is full of paninas. But we need to be in a community that reminds us of this truth. The truth that our lives connect to God's big story. And God wants us to be part of his purposes for the world, of bringing his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. Amen.